Now, two Wisconsin lawmakers are proposing term limits for members of the U.S. Congress. State legislatures can't directly put term limits on federal lawmakers, so in order for the proposal to move forward, a constitutional convention would have to take place. Advocates of congressional term limits say they would discourage lawmakers from being swayed by lobbyists and special interest groups. Critics of term limits say they would make Congress less effective and less efficient. We're talking now about term limits for members of Congress, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see term limits for members of Congress? Is it worth a constitutional convention to make it happen? What do you see as the pros and cons of the idea of saying, hey, X number of terms for you in the House and for you in the Senate? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Lily Gorin is a professor of political science and global studies at Carroll University in Waukesha. Lily, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on today.
Before we get to the merits of this argument, Lily, let's talk about the process. As I understand it, some state legislatures have tried to do this in the past. The U.S. Supreme Court said, nope, you state lawmakers don't have authority to say how long a lawmaker's term can be, a federal lawmaker's term can be. So what would it take to make this happen?
You need to amend the Constitution to term limit members of the House and the Senate. And this is, you know, we've done this already with regard to the limits on the term that a president can serve, which was an amendment to the Constitution following the election of Franklin Roosevelt to four terms in office. And that amendment went through fairly quickly. It had been a norm up to that point that you basically only serve for two terms. But after FDR broke that sort of norm, there was a move to term limit the president of the United States, and that happened. And so in order to have term limits on House members and senators in Washington, D.C., is what we're talking about, we would also have to amend the Constitution.
And to amend the Constitution, briefly, I know Congress can start the ball rolling and then states have to ratify. That hasn't happened. So this idea of states agreeing to have a constitutional convention, I know people worry about a bag of worms being opened up. You can start your constitutional convention for one thing, like a ballots budget amendment or term limits. But then what? All bets are off, right?
Yeah, I mean, last time we had a constitutional convention was in 1787 because they got together in 1787 to amend the Articles of Confederation, and we ended up with the U.S. Constitution. So my thinking, and I could be wrong, obviously, because we haven't had a constitutional convention since 1787, is that if another one was called, that it might end up in the same way as the 1787 one, where the current constitution is kind of thrown out and it's rewritten.
Okay, now let's look at term limits, the pros and cons. How do you balance the arguments there, Lily?
Well, there's always the argument that elections are natural term limits because the voters have the opportunity, obviously, to throw somebody out of office if they don't like them. The difficulty that we have encountered at this point in our system as it's operating now, as opposed to when it was first set up, is that the folks who are in office end up being there for a very long time, in part because districts are pretty safe. And so you do have slightly higher turnover actually in the Senate than you do in the House. But the incumbency rate in the House of Representatives is ridiculously high because essentially the seats that most members hold don't necessarily threaten them from somebody from the other side. It's more likely that you're threatened by a primary challenge these days than by somebody running against you from the other party.
Does serving in Congress for a long time make me, supposing I was in Congress, unlikely, but does it make me a worse representative of the people? That's part of the argument here, that by being an insider for so long, I'm corrupted.
Yeah, and that is part of the argument. And so the argument goes in that regard that we should have a sort of regular churn of people through office And the term limits will compel us to do that, as opposed to our current election cycles that don't necessarily turn over that many people every election cycle. The difficulty is that the infrastructure that already exists in Washington, D.C., is not necessarily going to change with those who wouldn't be reelected or wouldn't run again. So the staff, the bureaucracy, the lobbyists, all the other people who have a vested interest in how things are working would not necessarily change out. In fact, because you would have new members coming in, new senators coming in quite regularly, the staff may actually take on extra power because they would oftentimes be passed from one person to another.
We're talking to Lily Gorin, political science professor at Carroll University, looking at the idea of term limits for members of Congress. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Dave is with us in Schulzburg. Dave, hi.
Hi. Well, I wanted to first say that Article 5 of the Constitution has the two parts in it that two-thirds of Congress can recommend amendments, comma, or two-thirds of the states can call for a convention of the states, not a constitutional convention. So get that out of your vocabulary. And she is absolutely right that it would leave the staffers in charge for new people coming in into office. And term limits in itself is a start, but would not have prevented the federal government from taking away Badger Care, for instance, from us, or taking student loans away from the states and just federalizing that. So it's a start. I agree with it, but there's more to be done.
Dave, thanks for the call. First of all, I mean, if it's a convention to amend the Constitution, is it by definition a constitutional convention, Lily?
Well, it is an it is a convention to amend the Constitution. And so in my context of discussing it, as I said, the last time we had a convention with delegates from the states to amend the Constitution turned into to what's become known as the Constitutional Convention of 1787. And even if the state sort of said it's a one-off, we're just going to go and have you work on this particular amendment, there's nothing in the Constitution with regard to when the states delegate themselves to having that that convention, that it needs to be limited to one thing.
Thanks for the call, Dave. We'll go to Gary next in Iron River. Gary, hi.
Hi, good afternoon, folks. The point has kind of been, mine is similar. If we term limit representatives, we just give more and more power to the unelected bureaucracy. We got to think about term limiting the amount of time you can work for the federal government so we can have some changes made.
Gary, thanks for the call. And there's that balance of power between the electeds who would, in this term limited setup, Lily, becoming in and out of power versus longtime career staffers or members of the executive branch, for that matter, who are there for decades, possibly.
Yeah. And again, you know, you sort of have different members of different parts of the federal government. Obviously, judges have their positions for lifetimes. And so there has been also some recent discussion about whether or not there should be term limits of some kind placed on federal judicial appointments, which again would necessarily probably take a constitutional amendment because you're changing the sort of way that the person holds the office, which is outlined in the Constitution.
Thanks for that call, Gary. Now, I know one of the arguments, Lily, from the Wisconsin sponsors of this idea to bring about this term limit convention is it's having long time, maybe lifetime members of Congress defeats the idea of a citizen legislature that Congress becomes more representative by the fact that we have more normal folks as opposed to career politicians rotating through the office. What do you think of that argument?
And again, this is, you know, this was part of the original ideal and that sort of we got that some, a lot of this from folks like Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson, who saw that this was how he thought the legislature should work as well as other branches, that, you know, this shouldn't necessarily be something that somebody holds for their entire life. At the same time that we've had the professionalization of politics in lots of ways for over a century. So the citizen legislator, particularly at the federal level, hasn't been something that we've had for over a century.
Lily Gorin is with us, political science professor at Carroll University. We're talking about the idea of term limits for members of Congress. A couple of Wisconsin lawmakers say states should bring together a convention to amend the Constitution and have term limits for Congress. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you like about the idea? What do you worry about with this idea? What questions do you have? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with political scientist Lily Gorin, looking at congressional term limits. You can tell us what you think of the idea at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or join the conversation on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go back to your calls now. John is with us in Eau Claire. John, hi.
Hi. Well, I think it's a good idea. You know, a lot of them go into office wealthy, but some of them don't. But none of them leave office poor. They have a lot of insider information. They seem to be able to act illegally, trading stocks that the average person can't do. And I think the real disgrace that most of us don't think about is the size of their pension. I think if you're in for 10 years, you're going to walk away with a $100,000 plus pension. And that's, you know, that's not even anywhere near what the average person could get in the private sector, if at all, a pension. So I think being in office a long time is a bad thing.
John, thanks for the call. John's worried it's a kind of a racket, Lily.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, again, you have the concern with the people who we are electing to make the laws that we live under. And, you know, if they become really disconnected from the people they represent, then it becomes a concern in terms of them actually listening to us. At the same time, the concern with regards to the term limits is that people will have potentially even less investment in listening to constituents because they're not going to be in office very long. And what they're going to do after they leave office, because they're going to be pushed out of office after, you know, six years or 12 years or, you know, three or four terms or something, they're going to try to sort of situate themselves so that they can get lobbying jobs or other jobs that are going to pay more. And so that there's great concern on the flip side of that whole conversation that, you know, limiting the time somebody's in office may in fact make them even more disconnected from the people.
Thanks for that call, John. We'll go to Jerry next in Appleton. Jerry, hello.
Hi, I've got two comments, and I'd be very interested in Professor Gorin's comments on them. My first one is, I'm definitely against pushes for term limits. The reason for that, particularly at the federal level, is since it would take a constitutional amendment, it's extremely unlikely to actually happen. And I think it's used as a tactic to divert attention toward real issues that need to be solved. And the main one that I see is extreme gerrymandering. If we didn't have the extreme gerrymandering that we did, particularly with the congressional seats, then term limits wouldn't be as important. My other comment is, and it kind of the last caller alluded to it, I'm also against ways of limiting compensation for members of Congress, because for a middle-class person, you know, let's say a professional, to run for Congress is already financially almost impossible. You have to quit your job, give up your benefits, and there's a very good chance you're going to lose. So if you limit the compensation, you pretty much guarantee that only wealthy people can run for Congress or the Senate. And those are my comments. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. Let's start with that first point. Jerry's saying not term limits. He's not that wild about gerrymandering would actually do more fixing. He says gerrymandering would do more to fix some of the problems we see with Congress. What do you think, Lily?
I think that the caller is absolutely correct that because so many congressional seats are so safe on both sides of the aisle, this is the case, that if you have more competitive seats, if the gerrymandering was sort of discontinued and you had electoral maps that were actually much more competitive than the ones that we have now, you'd have more competition for those seats and you'd likely have more turnover than we currently do. And so, you know, part of this is having the maps redrawn in such a way so that more congressional districts are more competitive. There's also some discussion within sort of voting advocacy groups with regard to processes like instant runoff voting, because that may also make the election process more competitive because you need to appeal to people, not just as their first choice, but also possibly as their second or third choice. And so anything that would make these races more competitive would likely make the sort of the entrenched capacity that we right now have less likely.
And we talked to a bipartisan group of state lawmakers who talked about instant runoff style voting in Wisconsin. They had their own twist on it here on the show. And Lily, our caller's other point saying, you know, don't cut compensation for members of Congress because then it's too hard for people middle class or lower to run and hold office.
And you know, this was a debate actually at the original Constitutional Convention with regard to paying members, senators, and the president. And it was more about the paying of the president. But there is a, you know, there is some discussion about the sort of salary that you get as a member of Congress versus one that you would get in the private sector with the same kinds of education and oftentimes experience that people have when they run for office and are elected to office. The same could be said for, you know, members of the judiciary and so forth. So in that regard, there is a lot of discussion about whether or not members are paid sufficiently so that they are also not necessarily pursuing what they're going to do after they're in office that's going to make them more money.
We're talking to Lily Gorin from Carroll University, looking at the idea of term limits for members of Congress. Back to your calls now. Greg is with us in Milwaukee. Greg, hello.
Hello. I think it's a bad idea for lobbyists to have the superior institutional knowledge of government. So if people want to have term limits for elected officials, term limit lobbyists and their corporations.
Greg, thanks for the call. And some people have raised this as an issue, Lily. If you have Congress people less familiar with Congress than and how it works than the lobbyists are, this term limits would tilt the balance of power to, as our caller suggested, the lobbyists. What do you think?
Yeah, and that's one of the critiques with regard to term limiting elected officials is that the various other components that are engaged in the political process may end up then having much more power because they have more knowledge and they have, you know, more institutional memory than the newly elected officials who aren't in the office very long as well.
Thanks for the call. Time for another caller or two. Tim is with us in Menasha. Tim, hi.
Hey, I'm so excited about this topic. It's something that I've been thinking about a lot. I think that we should have term limits on the House, but not on the Senate. Just about that idea that the Senate is supposed to be a better educated as far as how government works, and the House should really have their pulse on how the people feel. And I think that doing it that split way would serve us well as a nation.
Interesting, Tim. Interesting twist there, Lily. What do you think?
And again, you know, the House is where you have this higher level of incumbency, in part because states themselves are not drawn by a state legislature. And so states tend to be a little bit more competitive on the political front than most House districts are. And you know, we can see some of that with regard to, say, the most recent Senate elections in Georgia, or even some of the Senate elections in Wisconsin versus the House elections in Wisconsin, that the Senate elections tend to be more competitive across the board, and then the House elections are in Wisconsin. So it's possible to go one direction and not the other. But again, we need a constitutional amendment or a convention where this is voted on. And the other thing to think about is, even if we have a convention, the folks who go to the convention may also really want these term limits because they want the jobs that are going to be open. So it's not as if there aren't sort of vested interests among the people who might go to that convention to work on such an amendment.
We'll leave it there. Lily, thanks a lot for joining us again.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me today.
Lily Gorin is a professor of political science and global studies at Carroll University in Waukesha. We also reached out to the two lawmakers behind the term limits proposal here in Wisconsin, State Senator Dewey Strobel and Representative Timothy Rampthan, but they were unable to join us today. Maybe we'll hear from them on this in the future, though.